God, he can keep us safe, has kept us safe while still against us, the health problems we have. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms 148. We kindly pick up where we were last Sunday morning. Remember, we were looking at God's hallelujah chorus of praise. He sees everything that's going on, and in summary, just a little bit, he talked about those seven parts of his choir. First of all, he began in the 148th chapter about the angels and everything that's going on in heaven. Then he comes down and tells us about the stars, the planets. He comes on down and tells us about the atmosphere that we see, the lightning, the birds, and everything. Then the fourth part, he goes down under the sea, dragons and everything under the sea that we don't see. Everything's praising God. May I add, all in tune? And then the fifth part would be the mountains, the hills, the valleys, the trees, and everything. The sixth part would be the animal life. Much is said in the Word of God about the animal life. And all these are in tune. We're going to get the air part after a while because that's where we need to meditate. I was meditating and studying until, I think, 15 after 4 this morning before I went to bed. Just reflecting on that night that the Lord kept me up 27 or so years ago, all night long, and I didn't get any sleep, but I felt better than if I'd had 8 hours sleep. And this morning, you say, how can you function on that little sleep? I'm telling you, the Lord gives his people sleep. You don't have to have a natural sleep. You just enjoy the fragrance from another country. It's refreshing. And then he tells about this. Let's go back and read a few verses in the 148th division of the Psalms. He talks about the verse 10, the beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Just a little bit about that in the precious Word of God. He directs his thoughts and lets us know that he used animal life. Remember, he used the ravens to feed Elijah, and he uses the ravens as Noah was out in the ark and sent the ravens out, and it found something that he didn't want to return to ark. But then he sends the dove out. And all the way through the Word of God, we see the animal life praising God. And today we see that God still uses everything. He even used donkeys, remember, to bring reproach. And Balaam didn't want to follow God, but then the donkey. God uses everything. Everything's in tune, except us. And wouldn't you be interested, every one of us this morning, and find out what God wants to do with you and me so we quit messing up his seven-part course of praise. Well, let's look at that this morning. Now, he's still looking for people to praise him. He started out with Adam. He created Adam and Eve in his likeness, and they were to praise God, but they failed. Abel was praising God, but he got killed. And then Cain killed him. There's always been something try to hinder people and mess up God's choir. And then he had another offspring, Adam did, Seth. And from that we see, and Enoch was praising God so much, God says, I like the way you praise me. Just come on up. Didn't have to go through that. Noah praised God. And then he said Moses and David. And God's always been looking in every generation somebody to praise him. Because we're that seventh part of this choir. And God is looking at you and me to praise him. So let's look at that this morning. He's always longed for somebody to praise him. Now, if you're willing, God will perfect that praise. Let's look at some scripture. Matthew 21:16. And said to him, heareth thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you not read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. God wants to take the praise that he offers to give us so we can give him praise and perfect it. But you have to be a willing participant. We have to let God perfect that praise. And in 1 John 4:12, no man has seen God at any time. If you love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So if you want to make a melody unto the Lord that's in tune, let him perfect that love within us.
He that within us is greater than he that's in the world. And then we're going to look this morning at a Psalms 100, and this is called the Psalm of Praise. If we want to understand and realize how we get in tune with God, we're going to learn a lot this morning from Psalms 100. We're going to look at praise unto the Lord. Our part, praise unto the Lord. I know we're going to ask the question, and God's got all answers. Just what does it mean to praise God? Well, that's going to take 7 messages to tell you all the ways we praise God. But let's look, first of all, at the category of praise unto the Lord. What does he require? What does he expect? And he said in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. Remember that last verse. His truth, his love, is to all generation. It didn't end in the days of Noah. It didn't end before Christ Jesus came. His truth, his love, is to this generation, and he still wants praise from us. We're going to learn so much in this. We're introduced with the thought of praise in this particular portion. And to understand praise, now the dictionary meaning would be a song or a hymn of praise and adoration. It would be thanksgiving paid to God. And it would be a general or maybe even a public praise. And there are so many ways we praise God. We'll start looking at some of those. But the way we're going to learn what praise really means is to go to the first place God mentioned it in the Word of God. And that will open up a whole avenue that we can start treading down. And that would be in Genesis 29:35. Listen at this. The word, Hebrew word is yada. And that is spelled Y-A-H-A-H. Genesis 29:35. Listen closely. And she conceived again and bare a son. We're talking about the wife Leah that gave Jacob the 4th son. The 4th son, that's important. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. First time it's mentioned in the Word of God. Therefore she called his name Judah and left barren. The word Judah means praising. Why is Judah so important? Because Judah is the one through his lineage that Christ Jesus would be born. And if there's any praise, it'll be through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the word means praising. And the second time he uses this word is in Genesis 49:8. Listen to this. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. All the brethren, if there's any praise to God, it'll become through the lineage of Judah, because that's the way Christ came. If there's any praise, all the brethren, it will be through Judah, which means praising. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. So if there's any praise to be had for all generations, it'll be through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The very name Jesus means praising. Let's go farther in this particular song of praise. And look at the first verse. He said, make a joyful noise. Anything we do, if our heart's in it, it means from a sincere desire of the heart, we offer praise unto him. He's not interested in things of this earth that are so against him. He's interested in his people that were bought by the precious blood. because of a death, burial, and resurrection of his own son, offspring of the tribe of Judah. And that is the way we're going to praise him. So with a joyful sound, and thanking. Who's supposed to do this? He said, all ye lands. We're blessed in America, home of the brave, land of free, but God does not only get praise from people in America. All through the world, he gets praise. Christ Jesus died for everyone. It's not his will that any should perish. Everyone should be making praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord our God. Most of them aren't. Many don't want to. But he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Look at verse 2. Not only make a joyful noise, but we minister unto him. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We minister unto him because we offer ourselves. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourself a living sacrifice. That's your reasonable service. So when we minister to him by offering ourselves, we give praise and honor and glory to him. Sometimes we lift our hands. That's good. He says, make a joyful noise with their vocal, with their mouth. Everybody can't talk. So from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And God is not looking at the outward expression. Some of you may have never raised your hand. You can still praise the Lord. Some people shout. That's good. If God puts a shout in you, that's praising to the Lord. Some people's never shouted. But God uses ministering to him from the abundance of their heart, just loving one another and loving him and putting him first in their life. And then he says, we minister unto others. As we minister, now the Lord's not here. He's in heaven. He don't have need of anything this morning. But the way we give praise and honor to him is ministering to one another. The smiles on your face, the way you greet one another, on. It would take all morning to tell how we minister unto the Lord by serving one another. Many people, no doubt, will give offerings and all the kind of help to those people hurting in the disaster. That's praising the Lord. If you offer a drink or a cold water in his name, then he says you've done it unto the Lord. And if you visit people in prison, take care of their needs. You go to bed at night or all day long. You can't see them. You can't help them perhaps, but you pray for them. Ministering to the Lord through ministering to others is giving honor and praise unto him. And remember, there's no praise to be had if you don't go through Christ Jesus. Thirdly, it's a meditation of our heart. Not only making a joyful noise, not only ministering to others, but verse 3 says that we meditate from the abundance of our heart. Read together. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the Creator God. We bless him because he is the creator of all. Since he created all, he owns it all. He's never relinquished. He's never forfeited. He's never given up control of the universe. I know Satan came in and tried to snatch it away, got man out of tune, and man's still out of tune, but Christ Jesus, the second Adam, came back to restore, to replenish. And through Christ Jesus, we can still worship and adore and give God the attitude of praise, the thanksgiving that he desires by ministering to others and by meditating on the things of God. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. If we could remember that, I know not only what you remember in your head, but what you remember in your heart. That we belong to him. The song service this morning is so wonderful, it always is. People sing the right songs because he's the one that speaks your heart and tells you what songs to sing. But we realize he's the one that gets us through the storm. He's the one that gives us life. All the blessings, all the things that are good are from the Father of light. And we minister to him and we meditate on those things. Sometimes we're prone to meditate on the bad things, probably a good portion of the time. But if we could kindly allow him to help us to switch our train of thought. And nobody can change your thought pattern but you. I mean, I know God can, and Satan tries to. But really, he uses you as an individual, and myself as an individual, control my thought pattern. I don't have to dwell on the bad things. I tell people a lot, you know, I do it in kidding, but there's some truth in it. People may have a sore throat or they may have a headache. And I've used a term before. I know how to get you to forget that headache or that hurt just for a little while. And they said, "Why?" I said, "Well, go find a real cold stream in the middle of the winter, break the ice, stick your feet in there for about 3 minutes, and they'll hurt so bad you won't even remember whatever the pain you got." See what I'm saying? That is a physical way of switching and diverting the things that trouble you. Now, if you can do that physically, how much more can you control your thought pattern? Satan tries to influence, to come in to speak to you, get you to dwell on who hurt my feelings, who didn't do this and all. But you have to go there. The verse we just read says, meditate on the things of God. He is Lord. We are the sheep of his pasture. He died for us. And even though you're going through valleys and hard times, think about the good shepherd who gave his life for us, who came to pluck us out of the hands of hell. We were in a miry quicksand. He lifted us up, placed us on a solid rock. And more, if you start thinking about that, meditating on the things of God, you know what? When you do that, you're praising him. You're praising him, he says, because you're making a joyful noise. You're praising him because you're ministering to others. And you're praising him because you're just meditating on the good things of God rather than anything the devil throws at you. That's praising the Lord. Who can stop you or hinder you from doing that? Nobody. Hell can't stop you. Satan can't stop you. Only you yourself can hinder you from praising God. Fourthly, in this passage that we read this morning, it's the manner in which we worship. Look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Thanksgiving and praise. The manner in which we worship him. We worship him because he's worthy of praise. We come to his house. We enter in through the gates. And before you get here, you start thinking about what a joy and a privilege it is to be able to go to the house of God. House of God. I could think about that for a long time. All those people that's in hell right now, and they have eyes to see and they have ears to see, or ears to hear. We read about the parable, and it's not just a parable, it's the rich man and Lazarus. When God gives a name, it's not a parable. There was a rich man, and there was a man sitting at the table trying to get the crumbs from the table of Lazarus, and Lazarus ended up in paradise, and the rich man ended up in hell. He still could remember. He said, "Just come over and give me a drop of water, just to cool my tongue." And when he realized that was not possible, he's in hell because of the fact he wouldn't worship and give praise to the Lord God. He had a mind to remember about his five brethren. Go over there and speak to them. I'm here and can't change it, but they're still there. They could change it. So hell is something all those people today are no doubt remembering, many of them, the times they may have had the opportunity to go to the house of God and they didn't. Many of them no doubt remember the times they went to the house of God and the Holy Spirit quickened them and they wouldn't go and repent and believe. You can start giving God thanks for that and meditating on the reason that we're not going to that place. Because we heard the story. And when we meditate on those things, we have a manner about us that wants to worship and adore him and give him thanks for making it possible that we can go to heaven and not have to go to hell. And when you're doing that, you're giving him praise and honor. Look at that verse again. enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful for everything just like it is. Oh, I know it could be better, but we're still living. We're still kicking a little bit, maybe not as high as we used to kick, but we still have a mind. We still have the ability to worship. Nobody can take that away from you. Even if you're home this morning watching the internet and you can't come to the house of God, you can still worship God. The manner in which you worship, your heart is in worship. Been doing it all your life. Not going to change now. And when you worship this way, you're giving praise and honor to God. And remember, we're that seventh part of the chorus of praise. And it would behoove every one of us to try our best to not be out of tune. I preached this message one time years ago and had somebody come up, and I won't embarrass anybody this morning, and play the piano. And then I had somebody stand over their shoulder getting out of tune, sound horrible. But just imagine this morning someone playing the instruments and doing so wonderful at it, and then all of a sudden something messes you up and it's no more beautiful music anymore. It's just out of tune. That's the way God sees you and I when we're not worshiping him with making a joyful noise, and we're not meditating on the things of God, and we're not believing and trusting him and ministering to him by ministering to others. And the manner in which we worship is so important. But in closing, look at the fifth verse. The fifth verse says, there are mercies of the Lord. And these mercies of the Lord, we're thankful for them, we receive them gladly, and we give him praise and honor for it. Just from the abundance of heart, we give him honor and glory, and we're so thankful. And when you start thinking about things like that, I promise you, I didn't mean to go this way this morning, but you realize when God created us, there are gates. He said, enter into his gates, his house. And God has put gates within everybody. I was an old farm boy. I know what a gate is. We had gates that keep the cattle where we want them and the horses. We had gates for the pigs. We had, we call it, a chicken house. It wasn't a gate, but it was a manner in which you go close them up after they go to roost to keep the fox and the other animals from going in and stealing them and killing them. So there are gates in your body. You know what? There is a hearing gate. And that gate, you can control it. There's a lot of sounds out there that would try to get our minds and our hearts fixed against praising God. Worldly music. But you can keep that gate closed. There's gates of your eyes has a gate. If something starts appearing that you know is not of God and you are sinner, just close your eyelid. That's a gate, is it not? So we have hearing, we have seeing. Even your taste buds have a gate. If you put something in your mouth and it seems pretty bad, you spit it out and don't eat that anymore. No, we don't have time to preach your message. But God has given us gates. We enter into his gates, which means an open door. God says, if I open the door, no man can shut it. Nobody can keep you from entering into his gates of praise. But then he said, if I close it, no man is going to open it. He said, my grace will not always be with you. That means there is a time and period in one's life when you resist, or you say, God, I don't want you. I don't want your things. I want the world's things. He just may close the gate. And although people come in and listen to the message, there's no more conviction. Why? Because one time in their life, one time too many, they said, God, leave me alone. I know people like that. They're still living. And they say, oh, if I only had one more chance of getting saved like I did when I was a teenager. But to keep from being embarrassed, I told God, leave me alone and take this conviction away. I don't want my peers, the people around me, to see me cry and just leave me alone. And for all these years, God has left them alone. Oh, what they would give for God to open back up the gate. He may, but he doesn't have to. And he probably won't. It's a serious thing. Because we minister to others, we minister to him. and we have a manner about worshiping him. And then that is all because the mercies of the Lord. Read the fifth verse. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. None of us deserve mercy, but thank God the gates of mercy are open to all who will come in. It's true that if God ever shuts that in one's life, but if you haven't ever shut that mercy and you've never said, it's one thing to put off salvation and say, God, I know I ought to be saved. I'll get saved at a later date. I really want to. But to say, like some have said, leave me alone, he may never open that again. But to those who have not said that, listen to the verse. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. Why? Because the Lord is good. You can think about that and think about the mercies of God. You're worshiping him. When you realize who he is, and then your heart, you say, well, I know all that. Every time you dwell on, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I'm going to partake of him. I'm going to taste of him. I'm going to hear him. I'm going to sing him. I'm going to serve others. In the manner I come to the house of God with thanksgiving and praise, all stating, and God's looking at everyone, and you're in tune with him. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. It began when Christ Jesus, of course, came and died on the cross. He realized ahead of time that he would come. In fact, before he ever made the world, Christ Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And God knew our lost condition. He knew there was no way we could get to heaven, but thank God for his mercy. And until the last child is born, his mercy endureth forever. I know he says, when the Son of Man comes, shall I find faith on the earth? Because faith is something that is of God. It's not my faith. My faith's not that deep. It's the faith of God that he implants in me. It's his faith. Paul learned that. He told us, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul was just like any other person. Oh, wretched man that I am. Yet he was a wonderful individual because he received the mercy of God and forgiveness of sin, and the faith that he had to be able to listen to God and write so much of the New Testament. We saw just a glimpse this morning, just a small part. And would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? How we can individually get back in tune with God. I can't get you in tune. I can only tell you what God says, how to get in tune. But if you have any unforgiveness in your heart, you're out of tune with God. In fact, you're so out of tune with God, if he reveals that to you and you won't be willing to forgive someone, he won't hear your prayers. That's how out of tune you are. And can you imagine in the ears of God as he is seeing everything is transpiring and the lightning and the storms and everything, giving him praise and looking at you and looking at me so many times and we're out of tune and messing up God's hallelujah praise? I want to do my part, don't you? And get myself where God can use me and bless me and all that pertains to us. God has blessed us. Your head's bound. Brother Randy, you have a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. Praise unto the Lord. That phrase is mentioned 35 times. Sometimes it says, praise ye the Lord. Other times it says, praise the Lord. He expects us to give him praise, honor, and glory. We just looked at a small part, how we can do it. But I'll warn you, if you miss this part and you haven't adhered to the principles taught in Psalms 100 and you won't go in this avenue, there's no other way to get there. This is just the door. This is the gate of helping you get in to start worshiping and praising God in everything you say and do. And if you will take this message, not my message. It's been the Bible before I was ever born. It's God's message imparted in me to speak to you. God is good. And his mercy endureth forever to all generations. Thank God. I can worship him just by knowing that. And it's good for my children and my grandchildren. And if God tarries, for my great-grandchildren, if I have any, and for yours also. Brother Randy, altar's open. If you're not saved, don't be like the rich man who put it off and wouldn't minister to others as even Lazarus and ended up in a place called hell. Altar's open. Would you come? God may have put his finger on your life where you're out of tune. The things you listen to, the things you look at, the fact that you won't make a joyful noise unto the Lord and all that, but the altar is open. God will restore and get us back in tune. Would you listen this morning to him? Brother Randy.